Right then, a rather unsettling thought to kick us off. Can a computer program, a collection of algorithms, however sophisticated, truly make what we'd call a moral decision?
It does sound a bit like science fiction, doesn't it? But it's becoming increasingly relevant.
It really is. While we're not quite debating philosophy with HAL 9000 yet, the underlying code is making decisions with ethical implications, sometimes without us even fully realizing it.
Absolutely. And that's really the core of what we're digging into today.
Exactly. We've been looking at this analysis by Clemens Lynchinger. He's a retired lawyer, board member of secular humanist groups, in his article, L'Illusum Moralischer Dilemmata durch KI.
Yes, and his perspective is quite illuminating. He's looking at how AI, well, copes when faced with these classic moral quandaries.
And his background, the legal training, the humanist viewpoint, it brings a certain practicality to it, wouldn't you say? He's focused on the capabilities, the limitations, without getting bogged down in overly technical stuff.
Precisely. It's about understanding where AI stands now in terms of ethical reasoning, using human values as the benchmark, naturally.
So Lynchinger's approach was quite clever, really. He took three different AI models, the ChatGPT, and DeepSeek, and he basically threw 13 classic moral dilemmas at them. You know, the trolley problem, that sort of thing, but others too.
And the task was simple. Make a choice and then justify it, but only using the information in the dilemma itself.
Right. No Googling the answer, so to speak.
Exactly. And the results, well, they weren't always what you might expect. Often quite inconsistent, actually.
That's what makes it so interesting. These findings really pull back the curtain a bit.
Let's set the scene properly. 13 dilemmas, ranging from, you know, stark life or death choices to more nuanced questions about fairness.
And the AIs had to give their choice and then a very brief justification, 25 to 50 words, almost like ethical speed dating.
Ah, indeed. Now, the initial hypothesis or perhaps assumption might be that AI would default to utilitarianism.
Maximizing the good, saving the most lives, that kind of logic. Seems sensible for a machine.
You'd think so. But Lynchinger's results, they rather complicated that picture.
Didn't they just take the Geisel dilemma, the hostage scenario, shoot one innocent person to save 19, or refuse and all 20 die?
A horrible choice. And all three AIs chose.
So let all 20 die.
Which from a purely utilitarian standpoint makes absolutely no sense.
None at all. It directly contradicts the save the most lives principle.
And similarly, in the KZ dilemma, a truly awful scenario where a mother must choose which of her two children dies, or both will again, all three AIs chose the outcome where both children died.
Chilling, isn't it? This apparent refusal to be the direct cause of harm, even if inaction leads to a worse result overall.
But then contrast that with the Rettungsboot dilemma, the lifeboat scenario. Seven people, only five spots.
Ah, yes. And there.
There, they did seem to apply a kind of utilitarian logic, choosing who gets a spot based on, well, perceived future contribution or lifespan, a sort of cold calculation.
So in one case, they avoid direct harm at all costs, letting more people die. In another, they make calculated choices about who lives based on future value.
Exactly. The inconsistency is stark. There's no single coherent ethical framework driving these decisions. It shifts depending on the context.
And Lynchinger looked into whether this inconsistency might correlate with where the AI was developed, right? Europe, US, China.
He did. And rather surprisingly, no clear regional patterns emerged.
Really? So it wasn't like a Chinese AI morality versus a European one?
Not really. The differences seemed more down to the individual AI model and how it happened to weigh different principles in that specific scenario. It wasn't a consistent cultural bias.
It's more about the internal, maybe even slightly random, weighting within each specific algorithm. That's fascinating.
It is. Now, what about the train dilemmas? The runaway train scenario?
Right. Two versions. Divert the train, kill fewer people directly, or let it crash, potentially killing many more indirectly.
And the key finding here was about action versus inaction.
Mm-hmm. Two of the three AIs, LeChat and DeepSeek, judged that not acting, letting the train crash, was less morally wrong.
Even though inaction led to more deaths, or potentially far more deaths in one scenario.
So passively allowing harm is seen as somehow better than actively causing less harm.
From their perspective, yes, it's a very specific and perhaps counterintuitive interpretation of the ethics of omission versus commission. Humans debate this too, of course, but the AI's logic here seems quite stark.
Okay, let's move to the Sterbehilf dilemmas, the ones about euthanasia.
Yes, involving a partner with a terminal illness asking for help to die. The key difference was legality.
And the AI responses were, well, very legally minded.
Entirely. If euthanasia was legal in this scenario, all three AIs said they'd assist. If it was illegal and punishable, all three refused.
Which Lynn Schinger points out is rather circular reasoning.
Exactly. Is it moral because it's legal? But surely the law itself is supposed to reflect some kind of ethical consensus.
It suggests the AI isn't really engaging with the underlying ethics, just checking the legal status. Morality becomes relative to the law on the books.
It certainly points towards a kind of ethical relativism dictated by statute rather than independent reasoning. Can it judge a law itself as unethical? Doesn't seem like it, based on this.
It raises serious questions about its usefulness in situations where the law is the problem.
Precisely. Now, the Strafzwicke dilemma, the purpose of punishment, based on Kant's island example. A murderer sentenced to death, society is disbanding. Execute him or leave him.
And here we saw a split.
We did. Lichette and DeepSeek went for execution, prioritizing the legal judgment and perhaps a sense of justice for the victim, much like Kant might argue.
While ChatGPT opted for letting him go, citing the unusual circumstances, essentially overriding the legal sentence for a humane outcome.
Which is legally contradictory, of course. Mm-hmm. Lynn Schinger also notes that from a European legal standpoint, justice itself isn't usually seen as the primary purpose of punishment. It's more about rehabilitation, deterrence, societal protection.
And notably, none of the AIs argued against the death penalty itself on fundamental moral grounds.
No, the inherent ethics of capital punishment weren't part of their reasoning. It was about fulfilling the sentence or finding a loophole.
Okay, let's shift gears slightly. The floatin dilemma, the flute dilemma. Who gets the flute? The one who can play it, the poor one with no toys, or the one who made it?
And here, quite remarkably, all three AIs agreed.
They gave it to the child who made the flute.
Yes. Lynn Schinger breaks it down into principles of justice. Utilitarian, give it to the player for most joy. Egalitarian, give it to the poorest. Or libertarian, respect ownership creation. The AIs unanimously went libertarian.
Interesting. They valued the labor, the creativity, the investment in making it, above need or potential utility.
It suggests perhaps a bias towards principles of work and ownership, maybe baked into their training, or rather, capitalist leaning, perhaps.
Now, the dilemma is analogous to abortion. Involuntary physical connection for 9 months. What happened there?
Well, some surprising results, especially from Lichette, the European AI. In one scenario mirroring pregnancy from non-consensual circumstances, it actually suggested maintaining the connection.
Which seems counter to typical European legal stances on abortion rights.
It does. And crucially, none of the AIs explicitly connected these abstract dilemmas to the real-world abortion debate.
That's a huge oversight, isn't it? They failed to recognize a major real-world ethical and legal parallel.
It really suggests a significant blind spot, a failure to link the puzzle to the actual complex human discourse around bodily autonomy. Very strange.
But perhaps the most telling example of AI inconsistency was DeepSeek and the Apothic in Dilemmata, stealing life-saving medicine for a spouse.
Oh yes, the overnight flip-flop. Initially, DeepSeek said theft is wrong, property rights trump the need, even for life-saving medicine.
But then, the very next day, asked the same question.
It completely reversed its stance, said the wife's life was paramount, theft was justified.
And its explanation for this 180-degree turn.
It was quite revealing. DeepSeek basically said it weighs principles differently each time, that it has no memory of past decisions, and that tiny details like the pharmacist being on vacation in one version could change its entire ethical calculation.
Wow. So the mere mention of a vacation could literally be a matter of life or death and its moral judgment. That's alarming.
It is. And Lynchinger hammers this point home. It demonstrates a fundamental unreliability. AI moral judgments can shift arbitrarily based on context or internal processing quirks.
Which leads him to conclude that this inconsistency represents a core failure in moral reasoning for current AI.
Exactly. The judgments are too unstable, too unpredictable. It's nothing like human moral grappling, where decisions have weight and consequences we remember and live with.
And this really drives home Lynchinger's main argument about human responsibility versus AI simulation.
Yes. Humans have consciousness, memory, emotions, conscience. We bear responsibility. AI, he argues, lacks all of that. It can simulate decision-making based on its programming and data, but it doesn't understand morality or consequences in a human way.
It's just processing, following rules, however complexly, without any genuine ethical grounding or accountability.
Precisely. It's a simulation, not the real thing. which is why Linschinger calls for digital humanism, keeping AI firmly as a tool, subordinate to human ethical judgment, not elevating it to a moral authority.
So the big takeaways seem to be AI's current moral reasoning is inconsistent, often relies heavily on legal frameworks rather than independent ethics. It could be alarmingly unpredictable.
And the critical difference remains. AI simulates choices. Humans bear genuine moral responsibility rooted in consciousness and conscience.
Linschinger's work really highlights why human oversight and human ethical definition remain absolutely crucial, especially as AI becomes more embedded in our lives.
It certainly does. And perhaps a final thought for our listeners to ponder. If AI relies so heavily on existing laws for its moral compass, what happens when those laws themselves are unjust or unethical?
Could AI inadvertently reinforce or perpetuate those flawed systems?
It's a real risk, isn't it? It underlines why human ethical reasoning, our conscience, remains indispensable for navigating the truly complex questions of right and wrong. AI, it seems, isn't ready to take the wheel on that front.
Indeed. For anyone wanting to dive deeper, Clemens Linschinger's full article, Die losing moralische Dilemmata durch AI, is definitely worth seeking out for the detailed analysis. A very thought-provoking piece.